Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back indeed to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. Yes, even though it is the 4th of July, we are here to bring you our live holiday edition, the Independence Day episode of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday, July 4th, 2009, and we're happy to have you with us. We spent the first hour with our good friend and correspondent Keith Alexander, kicking back a little bit, but here at the top of the second hour, we get a little more serious from the confines of AM 1380 WLRM radio studios here in Memphis. And we're going out, of course, via the Liberty News Radio Network to their affiliate stations and the internet stream as well. Joining me now, also taking time out of his holiday to bring his message to you, our listening audience, is our very good friend and a true hero of freedom-loving people across the world, Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend Pike is the executive director of the National Prayer Network, and among other things, he administers the website truthtellers.org. Ted, welcome back to the show, and happy 4th of July to you, my friend.
Well, thank you. Same to you, James.
Well, how happy of a day is it? You know, it was on this day so many years back that the American patriots rose up and gave a great gift to our people. One of those many gifts that were bequeathed to us was the freedom of speech, the freedom of association. All of those things now in the year 2009 certainly hang on a very perilous ledge. Ted, tell me, what is the update since your last appearance with us on the hate crimes, or I say the hate crimes? That's a very misnamed. Even I fall into the trap of using their terms. What is the latest on the front of suppressing the freedom of speech of the American people, Ted?
Well, actually, I think that the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, has given us a pretty great gift here in the last week. He ostensibly came into the Senate Judiciary hearing about 10 days ago with the intention of supporting and buttressing, helping pass the federal hate crimes bill, S-909, which has been very, very much on patriots' concern, on their minds over the last 4 or 5 months now since it was introduced around the turn of the year. And but he bungled royally. In fact, we have him on videotape we have a new 10-minute video at truthsellers.org, and he very flatly states that contrary to what this bill says in the first page of the bill, that it will protect all people according to race, religion, and gender from violent hate crimes in the states. That's not so, according to the Attorney General. No, he says this bill is about protecting homosexuals and even homosexual pedophiles, people who have been victimized by white Christian civilization over the centuries. He also went on to provide absolutely no evidence that states are not enforcing laws against violent hate crimes on the local level. And it was a total disaster. And fortunately, I was monitoring very closely that crucial judiciary session. It was a hearing with witnesses. The witnesses were stacked 4-2 against our sides. But there were some feisty Republicans there, Jeff Sessions and others, who really went after Holder, trying to get some straight answers out of him. And a lot of the time, they couldn't do it. But as an offshoot of that, now I was able to make this video, get it all over the internet, and just this last couple days, we're getting massive exposure of that video. WorldNet Daily has, which has a 7 million a day attendance at their website, they've done 2 articles going after Holder, blasting him, basically quoting right out of our video. And not only that, but Rush Limbaugh yesterday had a good segment, I understand, on his program, which has something like 10 or 11 million listeners, also raking a Holder over the coals. So there's about 18, 19 million people just in the last couple of days who are aware now that something is wrong with this hate bill. It every time these liberals and pro-hate bill Democrats take it into some kind of a hearing whether it was the House Judiciary markup of 7 or 8 weeks ago, or now the last week, the Judiciary hearing, they always mess up. They reveal the weaknesses of this bill, and certainly we got a lot of mileage 7 weeks ago out of Al C. Hastings, Representative Al C. Hastings, injudicious remarks in which he said that all 547 paraphilias or sexual perversions which are listed by the American Psychological Association, including pedophilia, will be protected under the federal hate crimes bill. So, as he said, and I quote him, these people will no longer have to live in fear because of who they are.
Well, Ted, so basically you're giving us good news in so much as a lot of people are becoming very much aware of what this bill would truly do and what rights and privileges, or to whom it would truly grant these rights and privileges. It is to the pedophiles, to the homosexuals, to the perverts and the dregs of society. So has our side been able to parlay this mass knowledge into tangible action?
Well, very much so. Just in the last week, again, a week or so ago, I found out that Senator Leahy, who is the Senate head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, was stacking the hate bill, what it seemed to be 5-1 against opponents of the hate bill. I sent out an emergency alert. We had a tremendous, overwhelming avalanche of calls all day in the Senate. The phone lines were jammed everywhere. Literally, I don't know how many thousands of calls came in protesting the hate bill. And then, again, just several days ago, it was Thursday night, I also sent out an alert, and we had massive calling in there on Friday. And again, the phone lines were jammed, and so we're letting them know that the people are watching. The people are watching them very, very carefully. And what we're trying to do is to forestall an actual announcement of a Senate markup hearing. And if the markup is announced, then the hate bill, the trajectory of the hate bill, is pretty well established. It will go through markup then, through Ways and Means, and then onto the floor of the Senate very rapidly. So what we're trying to do and we're calling for right now is for people to be calling in first thing Monday morning, and let's see if we can back down Leahy under all of this tremendous controversy that's coming in, and they will they'll not have the nerve to take on another hearing with a chance that the Democrats can mess up as royally as they did 7 weeks ago in the House Judiciary and then just recently in the Senate Judiciary.
It's a shame that the Republicans and a lot of these talk radio hosts such as Rush Limbaugh or prominent websites such as WorldNet Daily have to wait until we're on the brink of disaster before they will ride to the sound of the guns. But in this case, I'll have to give credit where credit is due. And it's very rarely that credit is due to the Republican Party. But they've done something here, and hopefully they will be able to help us stave off this very oppressive, very Orwellian legislation at least one more time. Ted, I've got a lot more questions for you, and undoubtedly you've got a lot more information for us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org and the National Prayer Network. Ted, more than any other American on the face of this land, on the face of the country here, he has done more to be the modern-day Paul Revere and protect us and sound the alarm against the hate crimes legislation and what it would do, making criminals of Christians, and we certainly can't have that. Ted, again, as I said, we've got questions coming up for you. Some things, obviously, there was a pretty unfortunate situation that manifested itself out of Minnesota last week, so we're going to ask you how that plays into the Democrats and their agenda over the course of the next year and a half until we have the midterm elections, and then, of course, we're going to be continuing on with some more information on the thought crimes front. You're listening to the Political Cesspool radio program, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards here with you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios tonight on the 4th of July, Independence Day. If you like our show, go to our website, send us an email, sign up for our email list, catch our videos, read our blog, lots of interactive stuff for you to do at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And when I come back, I will be rejoined by Reverend Ted Pike right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
We're celebrating a couple of things tonight, the first of which being the 4th of July, Independence Day. The second, this is Ted Pike's 200th appearance on this show. Congratulations, Ted. You know, that's probably not too far off the real number, and the reason we call on Ted so much is because there is not a better source of information for this issue, and this is an issue that is all too important not only to us as Christians but to freedom-loving Americans of any stripe, of any religious persuasion. Ted, I want to ask you, the seating of Al Franken out of Minnesota, that gives the Democrats a seemingly filibuster-proof supermajority of 60. How does this affect their agenda? Are we in a better or worse shape than we were before he was seated with regards to the hate crimes bill and other bills like this?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to make that much difference because the Democrats have always had a commanding majority in the Senate, not as big as in the House, but you see, we've always had 60 Democrats, plus maybe even as many as 7 or 8 liberal Republicans who have voted for the hate bill. So over the past two Congresses, these liberal Republicans have swelled the pro-hate bill ranks and always helping the Democrats pass it. Now, what we're counting on right now, though, is such massive pressure and massive criticism coming from the people, that we know that this bill does not give equal protection under the law. We know it does promote and give special, at least initial, protections and services and federal intervention in the defense of pedophiles, homosexual pedophiles. We do know that this legislation is a massive invasion of states' rights in law enforcement, and also, as Attorney General Holder said, there is really no basis for any kind of federal intervention because he couldn't even find one instance that the states weren't enforcing laws against violent hate crimes. So what we have to do is let the Democrats know that they may think they have made commitments, maybe with the Anti-Defamation League or the gay lobby, to vote for this bill. But the fact of the matter is we are never going to forgive or forget if they vote for legislation, the Pedophile Protection Act, as it's been dubbed. We are never going to forgive or forget. We're going to do everything we can to defeat them and make sure they never return to Congress. Even if they live 2,000 miles away from us, we're going to blog against them. We're going to talk against them on talk radio. We're going to publish their lists, the lists of those who voted for the federal hate bill. So what we have to remember here is that sometimes there are members of Congress who would like to vote for a particular piece of legislation, but they get so totally avalanched with protests, not only from their constituents but from all Americans, that they have to relent. They say, well, I'd like to vote for this bill, but I know I simply won't return to Congress if I do vote for it. We are hoping that such massive pressure will come in on Monday, day after tomorrow, against Leahy and the hate bill ranks, that there will be maybe 3 or 4 Democrats who will throw in the towel. Maybe there'll be a couple of liberal Republicans who will say, I just cannot buck this tremendous tide of opposition that's coming in. Now, we've had some, as I mentioned earlier, we've had some real avalanches, tsunami waves of protest coming in just this last week. For example, I mentioned how on Wednesday night, I heard this, I got in touch with this story that, in fact, Winston Smith called me about it, and immediately I got about Frank Lombard, the Duke University administrator.
That's right.
Was actually a pedophile living with a same-sex partner, and he had adopted a little boy, a little black boy, who was then 6 years old, and God only knows how many thousands of times that poor little boy has been raped by those two men. And this homosexual pedophile in an Ivy League university was actually trying to pimp this little boy and solicit an undercover policeman to have sex with his little adopted boy. And what I did in this e-alert on Wednesday night after Winston alerted me to this breaking story, I asked the question in this e-alert. I said, if that policeman had lost his cool when he was being propositioned by the pedophile Lombard and he had called him a fag and he had hit him, then that policeman having no special protections under the law and all the protections under the federal hate bill given to the pedophile, he'd be facing 10 years in prison unless he got the very best lawyer he could find, which means an initial $10,000 retainer being laid down and even more tens of thousands of dollars more in possible court costs and appeals and so on. And on the other hand, if Lombard, the pedophile, had realized that there was a policeman spying on him and had shouted pig, again revealing a bias against policemen, but then that policeman would have no federal involvement in the case, no federal interest in the case under the hate bill. He would have to find justice according to just the conventional laws of assault. And so you see here's an extremely lopsided justice system that the hate bill wants to set up, giving special federal protection to the vilest members of society. You see, if a homosexual is attacked for bias reasons under the hate bill, there's a three-level higher penalty against the person who attacks him. And that means that the police, the federal government, the FBI, the justice system, the local police, the local DA, everybody comes running three times faster because it's three times more important a crime. And at least in the initial stages, this federal bill gives priority to these homosexuals. And this was confirmed, absolutely confirmed, in Eric Holder's testimony. We got it down. And I should just remind people that video, that 10-minute video, is right on the homepage of truthtellers.org. Come to truthtellers.org, watch that video. Anyway, when I sent that email out on Wednesday night, there was an avalanche, a total avalanche of calls coming in when Congress was out of session, when all the senators had gone home, but their staff were there. They were just overwhelmed with protest on the eve of the 4th of July vacation against the hate bill. Now, this is very encouraging to us, very encouraging, again, that millions of people are finding out that Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, is now saying flat out in the judiciary that this is not an equal protection bill for the American people who might be victims of hate crimes. This is a special protection of the vilest members of society, homosexual pedophiles.
Well, Ted, you have articulated once again quite eloquently just one of any number of reasons why freedom-loving people should stand up and rise up and fight back against these bills that would make criminals of Christians or any basically conservative-minded people. I echo your sentiments, Ted. I echo your strategy. These are tactics that have been proven successful in the past. I know there are some people that have already taken down the numbers. Go to truthtellers.org and get the numbers of your congressman, of your senator, of the switchboard there. Rise up and body slam. Rise up from the grassroots, from the populist ranks, and body slam this once again. And Ted, it does work, does it not?
Well, it has. We have defeated the hate bill five times over the last 10 or 12 years. And we've defeated it with much fewer people aware of the issues now. But on the other hand, right now, even with a very large concern about this bill, we have the,
Ted, I don't mean to interrupt,
of the United States.
We've got 5 seconds to break. If you could just hang over for one more segment, we're going to wrap this up and give everybody that contact information and their monitoring orders one more time. Set tight, Ted. Ted Pike is back in just a minute. My goodness.
Political Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons will always put you in a good mood. Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you in the political cesspool. We continue on for just a couple of more minutes with Reverend Ted Pike, our dear friend, the executive director of the National Prayer Network. You can find him at truthtellers.org. Ted, our next guest is already on the line, but before we go to him, because this issue is so important and is so pressing, I want you to be sure to have the time to give out the marching orders once more to the listening audience. What do they need to do beginning Monday morning to make sure that freedom of speech continues to endure in America?
All right. What we have to do above everything else is to keep Patrick Leahy from announcing, from scheduling the markup session on the hate bill. That's the session where there's usually allowed some Republican amendments and debate or whatever, but they're getting the bill ready to take it almost directly to the floor for a vote. And once we announce the markup session, that means they are committed. They're pretty much committed to move it through. What we want to do is back down Leahy, cause him to lose his nerve, and this has happened before. For the last 6 or 7 weeks prior to the judiciary hearings, the Democrats didn't know what to do. They were waffling around because there was so much protest coming in. Now, the toll-free number to not only your 2 members of the Senate from your state, but also we should tell you that at truthtellers.org, we have all 100 members of the Senate. Why not make a project this next week for a half an hour before work, maybe a half an hour during your lunch break, to work away on the all members of the Senate. You can find that at truthtellers.org. And the toll-free number to the senators is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll number to the toll-free number to the Senate, 877-851-6437. And there's a backup toll number, which is 202-225-3121. Again, that's 202-225-3121. Now, here's the message I would like you to give. Number one, I'd like you to come to Truth Tellers and watch this dynamic video, which shows Holder saying there's no equality under the bill. Again, Holder saying there's no cases in the states where the states haven't been enforcing laws against hate crimes. The video will get your blood boiling. Watch it first at truthtellers.org, and then call first thing Monday morning and say to the staffers or the receptionist there, please tell the senator not to vote for the hate crimes bill. You don't really need the number. They all know what it is by this time. Please tell the senator not to vote for the hate bill. Also, watch the shocking video that shows Attorney General Holder saying there is no equal protection under the hate bill. It's on the homepage at www.truthtellers.org. Again, have them watch the shocking video that shows Attorney General Holder saying there is no equal protection under the hate bill, and tell them it's on the homepage at truthtellers.org. Now, why do we want them to watch this video? Because, you see, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, has been coaching and teaching all of these members of the Senate and their staffs that, oh, yes, this hate bill, it provides equal equal justice under the law for all Americans, including all categories of race, religion, and so on, and gender. And now Holder is saying that's all a big lie. ADL has been deceiving even the Democrats and their staffers. We want them to realize they've been deceived by ADL. We want to begin to subvert the power and the authority and the credibility of ADL in Congress. And so we want them to realize that this bill is a sham. It's a bill which is totally contrary to the whole spirit of America and the 4th of July and the Constitution, which stands for equal justice for all. This is a bill with justice, so-called justice, only for homosexuals, pedophiles, Jews, blacks, Hispanics, women, etc., anyone that the ADL claims has been the victim of white, male, Christian, conservative civilization. So we want to really shake up the Democrats and get them so rattled, and so many calls coming in Monday morning that and all throughout next week, that they'll lose their nerve again and they'll decide to postpone further action on the hate bill till after the summer recess, clear into September. And then if we can keep up the pressure then, maybe they'll postpone it till Christmas. By that time, the midterm elections will be coming up, and they will not want the people to remember that they voted for a pedophile protecting act and have that on their record at election time.
Well, God bless you, Ted Pike, and amen to that, Reverend. I don't think there's anything I could add, and there's no way I could have said it better myself. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Ted Pike's website at truthtellers.org, and please, if you do me one favor on this 4th of July, adhere to his advice, mimic his tactics, call in those numbers, let them know, voice your displeasure, stand up for the freedom of speech and against the persecution of Christians from the ADL. Reverend Pike, thank you so much for your service. I look forward to having you back on the program soon, where we will hopefully celebrate the defeat of this legislation once more.
Thanks so much, James.
Reverend Ted Pike, always my pleasure. Have a good night, sir.
Same to you. Bye.
So from Reverend Ted Pike, we go to another good friend of ours, political cesspool correspondent, Jamie Kelso. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I am, James.
Hey, it's great to have you, and I want to say again from the bottom of my heart, if anyone doesn't know and if anyone missed the show last week, perhaps you didn't understand that Jamie Kelso was our man on the ground there. He was our remote broadcast engineer / producer. He made it happen, and Jamie, we made radio, I don't know if we made radio history, but we certainly made political cesspool history last week, and you were a big, big part of it.
Well, James, that entire event was just a blast, and it was so productive. What James is referring to, folks, is the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference, June 26 and 27, and James and made a great broadcast on the 27th. That was a lot of fun.
Well, if you missed it, check it out on the archives. Last week's show of the Political Cesspool is the program we're both referring to, and Jamie Kelso made it happen. I might have hosted the show with Bill Rowland and the other guests, but Jamie patched us into the network, and without that, we would have been speaking to the crowd, so to speak, quite literally there in Jackson, Mississippi, and not to the radio audience. But thank you again, Jamie, for that. Now, since then, you're back in California now. If you turned on the network television stations today or opened up a newspaper, you would have undoubtedly learned that Michael Jackson is still dead. But you might not have heard that if my information is correct, a great number of tea parties taking place all throughout the nation today. Jamie, how many of them were there? Do you know?
Well, yes. And before I talk about the tea parties, let me explain my broken up voice. I just got back from a tea party in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And that actually is a place. There were about 350 of us. And, of course, we were yelling and hollering and cheering. A lot of us got completely hoarse. I'm one of those. So what you hear, the raw, raspy voice you hear, is a kind of voice you frequently hear after a tea party event.
Well, Jamie, this just goes to show. How many people do you say were there by your conservative estimates?
At the rally, I was at 350. And to answer your question, it appears that there were on the order of 1,500 events across the country.
And you would say that based upon the average attendance at tea parties over the course of the last year, at these 1,000-plus tea parties that took place simultaneously today across the country from coast to coast, about 300 people would be an average-sized crowd, right?
Well, we'll have to wait for the more informed estimates to come in, but I'll give you another example. I just Googled myself, having just gotten home from one, to see what kind of news coverage, what the news coverage is showing. And the first Google result I got was, from the East Coast, of course, which is a few hours behind us, on the West Coast. And in Morristown, New Jersey, there were two, the newspaper, the local New Jersey newspaper reports, the Star Ledger, 2,000 people in Morristown.
Wow. Jamie, we've got less than a minute to break. Obviously, for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about nothing but tea parties, what they mean, why people are doing it, and what positive results they might yield. But how in the hell, Jamie, do you get hundreds, if not thousands, of people to come together at over 1,000 different locations across the country on the same day? How are they able to organize this so effectively?
Well, I think this is the best news of all, James, and just tell me when we're out of time here in this segment. The best news of all is that the revolution is on, because this is happening.
Well, Jamie, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment. We're going to pick up right there where you're leaving off. I've got a lot of questions about the tea parties, and the listeners are going to be excited to hear your answers. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you with Political Cesspool correspondent Jamie Kelso. Jamie is on to talk with us about the phenomenon that is the American Tea Party movement, so to speak. I guess you could label it as such. Jamie, you were in the middle of delivering an answer just before we had to go to commercial break a few moments ago, but I want to backtrack just for a second here, just to start from square one. If you can, just answer this as succinctly as possible so we can get to the information pertaining to today's events. Why were the tea parties organized? What are the participants protesting when they gather at these tea parties?
You asked two good questions there. The first one that we're in the middle of is, who's organizing these tea parties? And here's the good news. Nobody. That's the real, real good news. There's no such thing, actually, as a national tea party organization. These rallies, James, are spontaneous. Now, there are, of course, with all events like this, local people helping out, providing some sort of organization. But there's no monolithic organization. Great news, because it means really
it's a true grassroots rebellion.
That the unrest among our people has gotten to the breaking point. Now, the second thing, what caused the breaking point? Why are they so angry? And let me tell you, you listen to my voice, you're a lot of very hoarse people there. They're very, very loud and upset. They're upset. I'll tell you the shout that I gave today that gets the most response every time I go to a tea party. When I scream out, "We want our country back," the crowd goes wild. Now, the crowd is 98% European Americans.
Of course, which is why it has been, obviously, by the detractors in the media, been called a racist event because it just makes sense. The only people who care about these sorts of things, the tenets of Western civilization, such as freedom, are primarily European Americans, and that's why they come. But nevertheless,
Jamie, frequent guest Bob Whitaker has said, when people say something is racist, what they usually mean is it's white.
Exactly. Because, of course, we can be the only advocates of racism. We can never be the recipients of racism.
Right.
But nevertheless, Jamie, so these people are protesting, what, higher taxes, loss of freedoms, individual liberty, so on and so forth?
Yes. What you and by the way, this is part of the excitement, because as you, even as a participant at a Tea Party, one of the 1,500 that went on today, I went to two of them today, one in Rancho Cucamonga and one in Fontana. It's fun just to be there to see the wide array of signs and, you know, individual personal protest from all of the people. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Yes, they're protesting the taxation. They're really protesting the open borders. Oh, boy, are they angry about that. They
Good.
Want to get
this
rid of the Fed. Constant
very
chance.
Positive. Very positive to know that so many people, you're talking about 1,500-plus tea parties today, which were attended by conservative estimates between any number between a couple of hundred to a couple of thousand. You multiply that by 1,500 meetings, and you see that you've got a real grassroots rebellion on your hand. Now, Jamie, I guess the trick would be getting these people unified into some sort of cohesive political movement, rather than just coming and voicing their displeasure, they could actually take tangible actions.
Well, okay, more good news there. These rallies are coming with very frequent rapidity. So that, for instance, I'll give you an example. We had rallies here in Southern California on April 15th. Nationwide, the estimate was that 1 million people, remember, 98% of European Americans, 1 million people participated. I went to a rally on May 16th, 31 days later. There were 10,000 people at the rally
wow.
that I went to in Corona, California.
Wow.
15,000 had been at the April 15th rally. And now here we are, July 4th. Again, these cycles are only about a month apart. My rally that I went to today, 350 people, on a blazing hot day. These are people slathered in sunscreen, standing in blazing heat, did not deter them. And the... Here's the good news. We keep seeing each other at these rallies. It's the same people. What's happening is we're bonding into a revolting, well, that's the wrong adjective, a family that's in revolt.
Very well put, Jamie.
So the thing is, we see each other again, and this chant, for instance, we want our country back. We all know what that means. You know, it's a kind of a code word expression. We want our country back. And everybody roars at that. So what's happening nationwide is a revolution. I'm convinced of it. And now people like the people who listen to the political cesspool are a very politically advanced group of people. When people like that show up at one of these rallies, they are educators. If the rally goes on for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, they will be circulating in the crowd, widening people's understanding, handing out literature or cards. You can hand out political cesspool addresses. But it's a great chance to educate because everybody that's there at a tea party is on the road. You know, they're on the road and they're traveling in the same direction as we are. They're ready to learn.
Well, and they might be a few miles back, as you said, Jamie, from the ultimate political realities that we understand, and I think that the listeners of this program, as you well mentioned, understand, but they can catch up. They can catch up. But I just can't tell you how encouraged I am to know that this many people are taking part in something that we all fundamentally agree with. There's nothing that's happening at any of these rallies that would run contrary to the mission statement of this radio program or of paleoconservative ideals. I mean, they're on the same page. Maybe it's little more basic.
Yes, and notice that folks are learning about it, you know, right now, live, the same way they were at the CFCC. You folks out there, you are hearing it live from James and Bill Rowland. Right now, stuff that the network is trying to hide. Rowland and Edwards, we're putting it out for you live. And today, July 4th, Tea Party Day, I just got back sunburned and hoarse, and you're getting it live. These things were great.
You know, I did see earlier today, Jamie, that on Fox News, they mentioned it in passing. It was on the ticker, and they spent a couple of seconds saying that there were a number of tea parties being held. But this is not getting anywhere the amount of coverage that it should. You look at the
It's getting the memory hole. It's getting the royal memory hole.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the disproportionate amount of publicity that the Michael Jackson death story got. You look at, say, Martin Luther King, a.k.a. Michael King. He has one rally in a city, and it's worldwide news. Well, there were hundreds, thousands of rallies today from people that were gathering for the same message. Picture if Martin Luther King was able to have a rally in 1,500 different cities, what kind of press coverage it would have gotten in the 60s. Well, that very same thing happened today, and I dare say we might be the only radio program on the air in the country right now talking about it.
Yes, very possibly so. It is going in the memory hole, but the political cesspool and alternative radio, which you are leading, James, alternative radio is scaring the daylights out of the controlled press, because they know if the public sees this, you know, they're going to turn away, and they are turning away in droves from the controlled press. Now, as we speak, this story, I'm on Google.com/news, and the story, when you started talking with me a few minutes ago, James, the story at the top had was being carried by 214 newspapers and TV stations. While we've been talking, it's gone up to 245.
Okay.
So now
we're talking.
Now we're talking, exactly. That's not the 1,500 or 2,000 newspapers that carry any story about Sarah Palin or John McCain or any of that. But you know, we're getting there. And alternative radio, such as the political cesspool, right in the front.
Final question, Jamie, and this has been truly encouraging. A great segment here for the program tonight, and I'm so glad that you were able to make yourself available to share this uplifting news with us, and I think it's very timely on the 4th of July to have an uplifting...
What do you recommend for my vocal cords? Honey, tea, what?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe a good night's rest. No more radio for you tonight, but other than that, maybe it'll be healed for tomorrow. You can go back out and do it all over again. But, Jamie, this is encouraging. I think, obviously, the people that attend these rallies are protesting many of the same things that the Founding Fathers didn't have a stomach for and that they stood in opposition against. And so perhaps the spirit of 1776 still lives on, at least in the hearts and minds of those coming to the tea parties today. We have less than a minute remaining, Jamie. How do we get these thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who went to the tea parties today and over the course of the last year, how do we get them to really influence positive change in America?
Well, many of your listeners were at these tea parties today, and they're coming home sunburned and hoarse right now. And so they were out spreading the word. They were out, you know, making a few more connections. And remember, they keep going with the increasing frequency. We keep going back to our same rally, so the people start to recognize the graduate students of political activism, which are political cesspool listeners.
Well, Jamie, we have less than 10 seconds left. I got to tell you, marvelously uplifting segment here. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Something for people to put a little hope in, a little stock in. And we'll leave it at that. But, Jamie, I'd like to have you back on soon for more from the Tea Party front. Good news, everybody, this 4th of July. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.